Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and downright unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. Wow, we have made it to episode 40 of this series, and it's absolutely insane to think that we're this far into it. I can't thank you guys enough for always sending in your experiences. If you have an experience with something supernatural, paranormal, or just something unexplainable, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight. This story requires some backstory. It isn't the most eventful, but it definitely gave me the creeps when I experienced it. For some time out of high school, I did some custodial work at a school in Wolf Point, Montana. There were many different stories about this school from other custodians, from contracted workers going into the crawl space below the gym and leaving their equipment below and refusing to go back to get their stuff because of things they have seen and heard, to custodians finding a large circle filled with kids' handprints under freshly laid wax. No footprints anywhere. And the room was locked down the entire time. It definitely had a creep factor, especially the older sections of the school. We would never want to cross the gym if we didn't have to. The gym and the locker rooms were probably the worst sections. It really felt like something was watching you in these areas, and it would send shivers up your spine. Before I started working there, though, the custodian that had my area one night went to clean one of the classrooms. As he unlocked it, he was suddenly shocked to find a young girl standing in the dark. She supposedly had old Native American clothing on and said nothing. Thinking that somehow this kid got locked in after school, he asked if she was okay and how she got locked in and told her that she could not be here, she had to go home. He took a step into the room, and as he did, the girl walked away from him and vanished before his eyes. Fast forward to when I began to work at this school, and now I had to clean this area myself. It was getting towards the end of my shift, so it was pretty late at night, and I was cleaning the same room that the other custodian had supposedly seen the girl. As I cleaned and moved around the room, I suddenly hit my shin on one of the tables on accident, and as soon as I did, I heard a little girl laugh right behind me. I'm surprised my heart did not shoot out of my chest right then and there. I whipped around and did not see anything, though. Shivers just shot through my entire being. I was at a loss for explanation. I couldn't seem to find one. I finished up quickly and locked the room up. So this room also happened to be the room my mom taught in as well. I would sometimes visit the classroom and help with projects in the class. The following day of this experience, I went to visit my mom and the kids were lining up for lunch. My mom said to follow the classroom down to the lunchroom. She said that we would chat once all the kids were dropped off at lunch. The lights were off and the line of kids was about to leave when I noticed two boys at the end of the line were laughing and waving at something unseen. I asked them what they were up to. Giggling, the boys said something along the lines of, "We're just waving at her. She's funny. She's by the whiteboard. She looks like a ghost." With this, a shiver shot up my spine again, and my head shot over to the board as the line of kids left for lunch. I was left staring in the dark at a whiteboard. I didn't see anything, but it definitely felt like something saw me. I live in Florida, and this incident happened about 3 weeks after Hurricane Irma, so not that long ago. Back in July, the ex and I had just finalized the divorce, and I moved into a gated neighborhood where every house was rented out by the same several rental company or landlords. It's a very small neighborhood, with about 15 houses tops. All 15 houses are bordered around a man-made lake with the backyards facing the lake. No one really has a fenced backyard. When you walk out your back door, you see a lake in front of you and your neighbor's backyard on each side of you. Everyone in the neighborhood seemed very close. Someone was always hosting a family-friendly barbecue or having people over to watch sports. I was, or am, still depressed by my divorce. So, I never really partook in these social gatherings. The only person I got to know was my next-door neighbor, Steve, an active Navy soldier with a huge love for guns. Steve is the true hero in this nightmare. My daughter, Alice, is 4 years old, and I get her every weekend. Alice's bedroom window faces the backyard towards the lake. I spoil that girl to death. She truly is my everything, and I count down the days to the weekend every week just to be with her. That's why I was upset when Irma came and I had to go almost 3 weeks without seeing her. The weekend before the storm, she was with her mom. Then obviously, the weekend of the storm, she was with her mom. Then, on top of that, the weekend after, she had to be with her mom because my power was still out. No AC in Florida is miserable. The humidity was so bad that week that I slept in my daughter's room the whole week because she had the only room with a window that faced the lake. I opened the window, exposing just the window screen, so the wind from the lake could come and cool my room as much as possible while I slept. Eventually, the power comes back, and Alice starts visiting me again like normal. That was when the nightmare started. My daughter would complain about the singing lady, and how she doesn't like her anymore. I thought maybe she was referring to one of my ex's friends or one of the teachers at her school. Maybe there was a teacher at her school that sang to the kids and she didn't like it. That Saturday night, Alice woke up in the middle of the night screaming bloody murder. I ran into her room and turned on the light and found her hiding under her covers. I asked her what was wrong, and all she could do was point to an empty corner of her room and say, "Look, look." There was nothing there. She was acting as if she saw a ghost. After I calmed her down, she started to talk about the singing lady again. "Please tell the singing lady not to come back. Please, Daddy, make her go away." Obviously, she's having nightmares, right? I showed her there was nothing in the closet and nothing under the bed, and that there was nothing to be afraid of. She calmed down and went back to sleep. I went back to my room and quickly fell back asleep myself. I couldn't have been asleep more than 20 minutes before Alice comes running into my room screaming, "She's back! She's back!" Alice absolutely refused to go back to her room, so I let her sleep with me. The next morning, Sunday morning, I took Alice out to breakfast, and we stopped by Target to pick up a baby monitor. I haven't used one since her mom and I were married, but I wanted to easily be able to hear if or when she started having these nightmares again, so I could respond quicker. After I set them up, I showed Alice how they worked to give her assurance that I could hear her and she was safe. That night she slept soundly and didn't make a peep all night. The following weekend, Alice had to stay with her mother again because she caught a stomach virus from one of her little friends at school. It was Saturday night, and I was sound asleep in my bed. Around 2 a.m., I heard it. A woman's voice, humming a soft nursery rhyme through the baby monitor. The humming, soft singing got louder and clearer as the voice got closer to the monitor. I wasn't dreaming. I could hear a woman softly singing lullabies in my daughter's bedroom. I had never been so scared and dumbfounded in my life. I was feeling a mixture of pure terror and disbelief. Then the voice spoke out. "Alice? Sweetie, are you awake?" Adrenaline shot through my veins. I jumped out of bed and locked my bedroom door. I picked up my cell and called Steve from next door. He didn't waste a second. As soon as I got off the phone with him, I heard him storm out of his back door screaming, "Don't fucking move!" I ran outside and found him, aiming a shotgun at a woman crouched outside my daughter's window. The one I had left open after Irma and had never closed. Steve quickly dropped his guard when he recognized the woman. It was Jean, the neighborhood maintenance woman. Steve's wife came running out after him and confirmed it was her. Jean played dumb, said she was not singing, and didn't even know my daughter's name. She said she was near my daughter's window because she was doing her weekly patrol for gators and thought she saw one approach our house from the lake. I call bullshit. That bitch was singing, and she called out to my daughter by name. Yeah, it's true that there have been a few gator spottings around the neighborhood, and yes, part of Jean's job was to patrol the lake at night and every now and then, but at 2 a.m., I obviously knew this was BS, and even though neither Steve or his wife called her out on it, I could tell from the look on their faces that they didn't believe it either. The next morning, I went over to Steve's house to thank him and tell him exactly what happened. He told me Jean and her husband had been known to be a little cuckoo, that this was by far the craziest thing that had ever happened. Steve helped me install metal bars on Alice's window that afternoon. Four years ago, I lived in a haunted house. I was 22 years old, living with my now ex-partner, two stepchildren ages 4 and 5, my daughter age 2, and heavily pregnant with my second child. From the get-go, I noticed little things happening. Multiple times the broom had been moved so that it was blocking the entrance to the laundry room. I once found "Hi" written in a bowl with a small amount of excess oil from dinner that I had cooked earlier that night. Footsteps up and down the hall were very common as well. Light switches would flick on and off, but oddly enough, the lights would not come on at all. My daughter flat out refused to sleep in her room at that house. We later found out that this is where this entity liked to hang out the most. So I'm hanging clothes out on the washing line. My stepson comes over and we start chatting. I don't really remember what we were talking about, but I recall he keeps looking at the ceiling and then back to me during this conversation. Mid-chat, he says to me, "Soph, who's that man on the roof?" I look up to where his attention kept being drawn to, and obviously I can't see anything, so I'm like, "What man?" Poor kid was so confused that I couldn't see him. He goes on to point out that there is a man on the roof, and he shows me, as best as a 4-year-old can, who can't climb walls, how this man scurries at the walls to get to the ceiling. I'm pretty freaked out, remembering the weird occurrences that happened during our time at this house. A few weeks later, I'm trying to get my daughter to sleep in her own bed, so I'm laying with her. The whole time she's staring at the ceiling, directly above us. I asked her if she could see someone and she nodded. I asked her where they are, she points to the ceiling. I actually have a picture of myself and my daughter lying in that bed in that room, and it looks like there's a blur or a light surrounding or protecting her. Like, I'm totally terrified. I say, "Screw this." I take her out to the lounge to fall asleep with me. I basically had the room shut off for the rest of our short time at that house. I contacted a medium who advised me to get a priest in to bless the house, but I decided just to move because I didn't want to mess with anything, you know? My ex was a huge skeptic up until the day we moved out. We wake up that morning and are about to take our first box out to the truck. As we're leaving our bedroom, the toilet in our suite flushes. In my opinion, that was one of the least scary things that this entity did during our time there, and he finally admits that this thing is real. Like, mate, the constant footsteps and light switches flickering weren't enough for you? I was just graduating high school, and my best friend and I went to Louisiana to stay the week with my brother for the summer. He lived in a country town called Ruston, near Louisiana Tech University. My brother had three male roommates. One was my cousin, and two others I didn't meet due to it being the summer break and all. My brother Ryan was taking some summer courses, so he left the house fairly early and left my best friend and me alone most mornings. On this particular morning, it had been raining through the night leading into the morning. Since my brother only had one bedroom to himself, my best friend and I shared the sofa. He had up against the wall in his room. I remember before we went to sleep, we decided to listen to a 112 song on repeat, and slept head to toe on this small love seat sofa. It was about 6 in the morning when I heard my brother getting his stuff ready to leave for class, and when he had gone, I decided to stretch out on his bed to get some more sleep. My best friend was still asleep on the sofa, and the song was still playing on repeat from the night before. I laid on my back and started to drift away again, listening to the song on the radio. I should mention that the bed was directly across from the door. While laying in bed, I started to see a blacker-than-black shadow that appears in front of the bed. It's rather hard to explain since the room was already dark, and the only lights came from the buttons on the radio and DVD player, giving the room that slight green glow. This black mass grew larger and larger, and an arm-like extremity began to stick out on the side, with long fingers developing right in front of me. I was in such a shock, and tried to call out to my best friend who was dead asleep and couldn't hear me at all. I tried to sit up and realize that I couldn't move nor could I speak. The only thing I managed to do was move my head to the side to see my best friend still sleeping. I could still hear the radio playing, and before I knew it, this black mass jumped on top of me and began pushing me into the mattress. I felt a tremendous amount of pressure in my chest, and it was hard to breathe. Tears came flowing down my eyes and down the side of my face, and I couldn't do anything but murmur a prayer. Once I did that, it jumps off me backward. I don't know how I could distinguish that this was the front of the creature, but somehow, I could just tell. Without opening the door, I saw it fly backward out of the room and down the hall into one of my brother's roommate's rooms. I asked myself how I was able to see the other parts of the house from the bed. I could never understand, but I did. Needless to say, I was ready to go home after all that. I called my mom hysterically and begged for her to come get me. I never went back to that house, and later that same year, my brother said it happened to him too. After some research, I found out it's called the Angel of Death or something like that. I think some people even call it the Hag. But this thing had no face and clearly only meant to harm me. I worked as a car detailer at a dealership for a few years. The boss had a small truck towed in one day and asked me and another detailer to see if we could clean it out. We had taken care of some bad-smelling and filthy vehicles before, so we figured this was the same kind of deal. We were wrong. Before even opening the truck, we smelled it. Nasty, rotten, thick air surrounded the truck. I asked my coworker if he had ever smelled anything like it. He shook his head. I walked over and opened the door. The smell of something dead rushed out. It was overwhelmingly sickening. I went and talked to the boss about the unbearable smell. He was trying to get some money out of it. The guy who bought it died not very long after purchasing the truck. So, if possible, he wanted to get it back to selling condition. He said he wanted to get the seats gutted because he bought all new seating. I still informed him cleaning it was going to be nearly impossible. The smell was just making everyone sick. I pretty much said that I needed some type of breathing apparatus for myself and everyone who was brave enough to even try to help me clean this vehicle out. So we bought us painting jumpsuits and full face masks. It did help a bit. If we didn't have those items, it would not have been possible. The guy I worked with was a veteran detailer. He had many years of experience cleaning up and detailing vehicles. He told me he had never had a case like that truck. We began to take the car apart and bag the old seats into plastic bags. We shampooed the carpets and we washed out the engine. We scrubbed and conditioned the vinyl out of the dash and interior. It was looking much better. We attached the new seats and looked for anything else we could clean up, just to get the lingering smell out. My coworker sat in the driver's seat and contemplated buying the little truck. But we both forgot a major place to clean up. We reached down and turned the AC to full blast. A bunch of burnt little brown and black things flew at him. All over his face and chest, these things hit him. The smell was there again. We tried everything we could, but whatever happened in that truck wasn't able to be washed off. We got close, but when it would sit in the sun for any amount of time, the smell would be back. We later found out what happened. Apparently, the guy had died in the truck. They didn't find him for a while. By the time they found him, he was swollen and split and was covered in maggots and flies. I guess since the weather was hot, it sped up the process of decomposition. Those things that flew out of the AC were burnt and cooked maggots. An officer came by and filled us in. My coworker vomited right then and there. The smell of death is strong. It's very hard to get rid of if you can at all. No matter how hard we cleaned, I'm sure there would have been some kind of residue somewhere. But maybe the truck was never able to be sold again. Maybe it's just a smell that is not possible to remove. But it was a horrible experience. I'm sure the officer that found that scene had it worse, though. Before I start, I should mention that I am half white, half Mexican male, and this story happened to me when I was 17 years old. My family went to California for a summer vacation, and to see the family we have out there. That year, we decided to go camping in a certain park in Northern California for a few days, and being a Phoenix native, it was a much-needed break from the 120-degree heat. All was good for the first few days, until the second to last night there. A group of 5 to 6 of us were sitting by the campfire at 1 in the morning, when we noticed the forest goes dead silent around us. As we all look around at each other, questioningly, we hear the pained, blood-curdling scream of a woman saying,
No.
Ring from the trees to the left of our camp. Not knowing what was wrong or what was going on, we kept our ears open and stayed on guard. A few moments later, we hear the same noise again, but somehow different. More inhuman this time. Like a voice being played off of a speaker. We instantly recognize it as the voice of the woman from before. Horrified, we quietly all went to our tents to hide. Eventually, we all fell into a very uneasy sleep. I jolted awake at 3 in the morning, desperately needing to pee. Thankfully, we were across from the outhouses, so after a quick sprint over into the outhouses and relieving myself, I hear what sounded like scratching on a tin metal roof. I immediately froze, remembering the inhuman howl from earlier that night, hoping they weren't related. Armed with only my phone, I watched the next half an hour tick down, either waiting for the sun to rise or for the sound of the scraping to stop. Suddenly, the light in the bathroom cut out. The timer for the lights had gone out, leaving me in the dark, with the faintest bit of light threatening to peek its head over from the horizon. I decided to make my break back to the tent. I made it across the dirt road to the camp when I heard it again. That woman's shriek, but not loud. It had the same intensity and inhuman artificialness, but it was like barely a whisper. Foolishly, I turned around and perched on the metal roof. I saw was a 7-foot, pale gray creature with 3-inch claws on all fours and deep, sunken eyes staring at me a mere 25 feet away. Its flesh was tightly stretched across its bones. It was completely hairless and lacked any form of genitalia. I was frozen solid as we looked at each other until it took to its right and saw the light creeping up. It stared at me and let out one more agonizing cry that had me haunted till this very day. It sent one last soul-stabbing stare before it vanished into the early morning. As I lay back into my tent silently sobbing and trying to fall back asleep, I hear the faint echo of the thing's cry. Needless to say, I didn't sleep at all that night and refused to set foot in those woods again. As we left the campsite that day, we saw a homeless-looking woman standing at the side of the road going down the mountain. I didn't make eye contact, but I knew she was staring at me. Once we passed, I casually looked over my shoulder to see if she was there, and she wasn't. But there was an owl who flew close to the ground to where she was. So I grew up in South Jersey, very close to the Pine Barrens. The Pine Barrens are basically a stretch of wilderness across southern New Jersey that holds a huge aquifer underneath it. The aquifer exists because the soil is extremely sandy, allowing for rapid draining of rainwater into the aquifer below. People here have no doubt that the Jersey Devil is real. So much so, that part of the Pine Barren unit in 6th grade science included the legend of the Jersey Devil, what he probably looks like, and different significant sightings that people in the area have seen over the years. You know, typical public school learning. All of the Jersey Devil talk peaked when we went to Mount Misery for our 6th grade class trip. Basically, we spent 3 days in the heart of the Pine Barrens with our teachers and classmates cabin camping. We did a ton of random nature stuff, but everything came to a head on the last night there. The grade was split into 3 groups that would rotate through 3 different activities, ghost stories, s'mores, and a hayride. My group went through the activities in this exact order. The ghost stories were pretty lame. They were told by one of the English teachers and was definitely meant to freak us out a little bit. None of the stories mentioned the devil at all, though. The sun began to set as we made some s'mores for our 2nd activity. Both of the other groups got to experience the hayride during the day, but by the time we got it, the sun had fully set. Our group loaded into the back of the hayride, which consisted of a tractor pulling a large trailer filled with hay and straw. A couple teachers joined the group, with my homeroom teacher sitting 3 people away from me, towards the front of the trailer. The tractor turned its headlights on, and we were off into the woods. Honestly, there wasn't much to see. We traveled down some sandy dirt road surrounded by trees in the pitch-black darkness. This went on for about 10 or so minutes until we finally came out to a clearing. The clearing can best be described as a bunch of sand dunes, not uncommon for the Pine Barrens, with a small pool of water at the lowest point between a couple of the dunes. The tractor pedaled along across the side of the clearing towards the dirt on the other side. Everything was fine until one of the kids on the side closest to the pool of the water shouted, "What's that thing over there drinking out of the water?" We all rushed over to look, and saw what looked to be a deformed deer. It was drinking out of the water like any other deer would, but it looked like it had long scratches along its side and had weird deformities sticking out of its back. I could see how someone could mistake these for wings, but it looked more like a strange, large black growth to me. My first thought was this was something like a teacher trying to scare us or something. After all, we literally learned about the Jersey Devil like 2 weeks prior, and we just listened to a bunch of ghost stories about an hour ago. My opinion was changed when I saw the panic in my homeroom teacher's eyes. She pushed me and a couple of other kids away from that side of the trailer and frantically was yelling at the tractor guy to speed up. She tried to hide it, but I saw her wipe tears away throughout the rest of the ride. I never got to see if that deer thing reacted to us because my teacher was holding me down away from the ride. The driver gunned it, and the teachers towards the back of the trailer frantically scanned the woods behind us with flashlights for the rest of the ride. When we got to the camp, half of us rolled out of the trailer with laughter. Surely this was a prank that the teachers put on for all the groups, right? But after talking to the other kids, we realized we were the only ones that saw this creature. I paid close attention to my teacher, and saw her pull a couple of other teachers aside and they exchanged frightened looks as she told them what we saw. My sister went on the same class trip 2 years later and they didn't even do the hayride activity at all. This happened years ago, but I've never been able to shake that encounter. The closest thing I've seen to what I saw was when Paranormal State tried to find the Jersey Devil themselves. They captured an image of a weird-looking deer on thermal cameras. I don't know if it's the Jersey Devil, but they definitely saw the same freaked up thing that I did.
I
I'd like to start by saying that this is my sister's story, not my own. She swears up and down that this is true, and I choose to take her word for it. I've heard my share of shadow people's stories, and one of them was my sister's. She mentioned seeing shadowy figures in random places, both inside and outside of our house. She said they were never human or humanoid in shape. Rather, one day when we were playing the first Kingdom Hearts game, she exclaimed that the Heartless reminded her of them. Alongside this, she proclaimed that at any time she saw one, something bad would happen in the area or to the person that she saw close to this person. Basically, she described them as omens or harbingers of sorts. The most noteworthy event surrounding these things that I can recall happening was when she was 10 or 11. We were messing around in the yard playing soccer with a volleyball when she mentioned that she saw the Heartless. That's what she began calling them. Yes, very similar to the things that you would see in the Kingdom Hearts games. She said she saw one lingering in the neighbor's porch. She watched it for a while before we resumed our game. The day after, at around the same time of day when she sighted the shadow creature, an ambulance pulled into the neighbor's driveway. He's okay now, and we found out that at the time, he had a heart attack. It can definitely just be childhood imagination and really weird coincidence, but since then, my sister has said that she has seen a Heartless in my dad's car before someone ran a red light and crashed into him, as well as other mishaps, both minor and major. To this day, she claims that she sees them every now and again, and insists that bad things still come along with them. And to this day, she still isn't sure if they warn of bad luck or cause it. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video that you can't explain or might be supernatural of sorts, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. Honestly, some of these stories were some real head-scratchers. I don't even know what I would do if some crazy lady was singing into my daughter's window. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it really does help me out a lot. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us, hit subscribe, and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. If you're not aware, you can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you wherever you go. You can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I can't believe we have made it 40 episodes into this series. To celebrate, I'm going to be giving away one free t-shirt. So, if you would like a free Swamp Dweller t-shirt of your choice, comment down below your favorite paranormal story that I have ever read. I'm going to be picking one, maybe even two people. So, let me know down below. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.